Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio to answer your questions on air. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters, CRI. I want to address something that comes up over and over on the broadcast, the meaning of Christ's words coming on clouds. Jesus, in the Olivet Discourse, said that he would come on clouds and that his coming on clouds would take place within a generation. And that has caused skeptics like Bertrand Russell, Albert Schweitzer, and more recently, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill's Bart Ehrman, to say that Jesus was a false apocalyptic prophet because he thought that he was going to return a second time, and that within the lifetime of his disciples. So the question is, did Jesus have the second coming in mind? If he did, then Bart Ehrman and Bertrand Russell and those other skeptics are right in saying that Jesus Christ is a false prophet. But actually, Jesus had a completely different meaning. And what should be noted here is that when Jesus told Caiaphas and the court that condemned him to death, that they would see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, he was quite obviously not speaking of his second coming. He was speaking of his coming on clouds in terms of judgment on Jerusalem. Now, certainly Caiaphas and the court knew that full well, because this was a common Old Testament metaphor pointing to God as the sovereign judge of the nations. So they knew the Old Testament, and therefore this was not a question for them. Skeptics like Schweitzer and Russell and Ehrman don't know the Old Testament, and therefore they think that Jesus was a false apocalyptic prophet. Another point that should be made is that far from predicting his second coming, what Jesus was actually telling his disciples is that those who witnessed Jerusalem's destruction would likewise see his vindication as Israel's rightful king. And that's why Jesus uses the pronoun you. When he does, he's quite evidently addressing a first century audience. A final point that should be made, and then we'll go to the calls, is that the coming on clouds to judge Jerusalem metaphor points forward in one sense to the end of time when he will come again with glory to judge the quick and the dead. Because Jesus, in concert with prophets ranging from Isaiah in the Old Testament to John in the New, uses apocalyptic language pointing to final future realities to describe judgment in his generation. So while the near future catastrophes fulfill the cosmic language, they most certainly do not exhaust the meaning of the language. As Peter's apocalyptic prophecy of judgment on Jerusalem suggests, a day of ultimate judgment does loom on the horizon. And then, as Peter put it, the heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Yet, in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward, as Peter says, to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. As Jesus made clear, he will appear a second time, but not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are awaiting him. You'll find that passage in Hebrews chapter 9. The basic issue, once again, is that while there are skeptics today saying that Jesus is a false apocalyptic prophet because he said he was coming within a generation, that coming was his coming in judgment, and it was fulfilled precisely as Jesus said it would be fulfilled. And because all of the prophecies and the word of Jesus Christ in general cannot be broken, we have absolute certainty that Jesus is going to appear a second time. Let's go to the phone lines. First up today is Ali, listening in Pennsylvania on Sirius XM 131. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to be talking to you. I have a question regarding 1 Corinthians 15, 28. And I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is the Word and that he is God. And I believe that of his kingdom there will be no end. What I don't understand is why in 1 Corinthians 15, 28, does it say that he will hand the kingdom back to God so that God is all in all? If of his kingdom there will be no end, which I'm viewing as the same kingdom as God. I'm just not understanding why there's a distinction there. And I draw on the Old Testament and some verses in the New Testament, you know, where it says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So will Christ always be at the right hand of God? And why is he giving the kingdom back if his kingdom will have no end?
Yeah, well, first of all, remember that the language is anthropomorphic language, which is to say that it is a human condescension. It is speaking in such a way that we can attain to what is being said. So God always uses earthly perceptible realities to explain those heavenly verities that we wouldn't get otherwise. And in this case, to be at the right hand of the Father is a way of saying that he will be reinstituted, as it were, with all of the prerogatives of divinity. In the incarnation, though Jesus Christ was not divested of a single attribute of divinity, he did take on the limitations of humanity. And therefore, oftentimes, we hear Jesus Christ saying that he doesn't know certain things. Obviously, as God, he does, but speaking from the perspective of his humanity, those prerogatives are voluntarily veiled. And when Jesus Christ has consummated the kingdom, then he will be all in all, and therefore he will once again sit at the right hand of the Father. And of course, the consummation of the kingdom, which was inaugurated when Jesus Christ came in his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension, is now being consummated. So Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he will appear a second time, and this time he will come to judge the world with righteousness as the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. So again, there has to be this understanding that Jesus in the incarnation at times speaks from the perspective of his humanity. At other times, he, as God, does take on the prerogatives of divinity. So for example, the Bible says that Jesus had the power to lay down his life and take it up again. Only God can do that. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Gary, listening in Clarksville, Tennessee, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Gary.
Oh, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I was wondering, besides you, who else in the religious world, you know, theologians or preachers or authors that do not hold to the premillennial dispensational view?
Well, think about it this way. Prior to the 19th century, all theologians were non-dispensational. The whole notion of a pre-tribulational rapture is very new in history. So while you'll find various millennial perspectives, the premillennial perspective attached to a pre-tribulational rapture is very, very new in church history. For the whole of church history, the notion that God did not fulfill his promises to Abraham was simply not in any kind of way a contention that serious people held. Obviously, the Bible is very, very clear that all the promises God made to Israel have been fulfilled. Not one of them has failed. I mean, this is the very thing that Joshua said on his deathbed. So the notion that the promises that God made to Abraham have to be fulfilled in the future with Israel occupying a massive land that is 30 times the present size that it now occupies is simply new, it's gratuitous, and it is untrue. God has fulfilled his promises, and therefore there's no need to suppose that somehow or other that has to be done in the future, that the Jews have to get herded in the Holy Land, that they have to take over this gargantuan mass of the Middle East and then be slaughtered. All of that is a fairly new concoction in terms of world history.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You got it. Appreciate your call. Coming up to station break, we'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. We deeply appreciate you standing shoulder to shoulder with us, not only prayerfully, but financially as well.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? If so, prepare to discover the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life in Hank's magnum opus, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself, or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth, because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hank contemplating his own Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Find out what Hank Hanegraaff means when he says, "Truth matters, life matters more," by reading his latest book today. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. Well, let's now return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick reminder that when you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries with your ongoing support. In appreciation, you receive a personalized copy of one of my books. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Nothing more important than those who stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach through the CRI support team. As a support team member. Again, you can join in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultant standing by, the number 888-7000 and the letter is CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ann in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Could you help me with 1 Corinthians 11:29.
And what's the question?
Well, it says if you drink unworthy, concerning the Lord's Supper, then you drink damnation to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the way I understood it, if you have sin in your life and you take the Lord's Supper, that you have to have the forgiveness before you take it.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think that what you have to do, according to what the Apostle Paul is instructing, is to examine yourself. So the idea here is that we should not be cavalier. We should confess our sins, knowing that Jesus Christ is faithful and just. He will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The other thing that's very important is to recognize what we're doing when we're taking communion, when we're partaking of Mass or the Eucharist, Mass meaning mission, the Eucharist meaning the Thanksgiving meal. Sometimes it's called the Lord's Table, or Holy Communion, as already mentioned. But we have to realize that this is a very significant thing because, as Paul says, we're partaking of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And so we should never be cavalier about this. We should examine ourselves and be those who are continually confessing our sins and in a right relationship with the Lord. Now, that does not mean that we're sinless. Obviously, we are not. We are sinners, and Paul himself calls himself the chief of sinners, so he recognizes his own sin. But we should not come to him with hidden immorality, with doctrinal heresy, and with failing to recognize the significance of the holy gift that God is giving to his holy people.
Okay, that's what I thought. Now, the damnation, what does that mean?
Well, if you do not consider the Lord's Supper for what it really is. If you are cavalier about it, what it points to is that you really do not have life, that you might have a said faith, but you really do not have a real faith. But there is such power in the body and blood of Jesus Christ that is communicated to us in the eating and drinking of his gifts, that to do that with willful disrespect or disregard of the body and blood of Christ, well, the Bible says can result in even sickness, weakness, or death. So this is a very, very serious matter, and therefore, again, we must examine ourselves carefully. We must not take communion in a cavalier fashion, and as I've already mentioned, to do so on an ongoing basis would be an indication that you're really not a believer at all, because any believer that is taking these sacred elements is going to prepare themselves.
That's what I thought. Thank you. You don't know how much you've helped me.
Well, bless you, Ann. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Justin. He's listening in Oklahoma City. Hi, Justin.
Hello. I'm on my way to become a pastor, and I was wondering what tools I could use to show my mom the importance of knowing Christ personally. She says that she would read the Bible if Christ wrote it himself, but she can't bring herself to believe what's written in the Bible because it was wrote by men.
Well, you know, what's beautiful about the Bible is that the Bible is replete with evidence that it is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. The prophetic prowess of the Bible is a powerful proof that God has spoken, that God is able to, through the prophets, predict what is going to happen with such precision that even skeptics looking at books like Daniel say it has to be history written after the fact. Daniel couldn't have lived in the 6th century during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, had to have lived in the 2nd century during the time of Antiochus the 4th Epiphany, because he foretold what would happen over 4 centuries. It has to be history written after the fact. Now, we have compelling evidence that Daniel did, in fact, live in the 6th century, but he was able to predict a succession of nations, and what he did can never be pawned off to good luck, good guessing, or deliberate deceit. But there are many other proofs. For example, the archaeologist Spade. With one turn after the other of the archaeologist Spade, we have more and more evidence that not just the people and the place, but even the minute particulars that you find in the Bible correspond to evidence. So, bottom line, I wrote a book called Has God Spoken, answering that question by giving the acronym MAPS. Under the M, I talk about the manuscript evidence that the Bible is the Word of God. Under the A, the archaeological evidence. The P, I talk about the prophetic prowess of the Bible. And then I talk about scriptural synergy, which is to say that if you learn to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended, you find out, wow, all of the books are written by different authors in different time frames, in different languages, on different continents, and yet have one central storyline without contradiction. And these are all powerful proofs that the Bible is a reliable authority. And again, that's why I wrote the book, Has God Spoken?
Okay, so just in reading the book, I'll be able to answer more of my mom's doubts about the Bible and just trying to...
Without a doubt, I mean, every single possible objection I have anticipated in that book, having done this show for over 30 years. And so I wrote that book with all this in mind so that if someone is genuinely open to listening to truth, they'll find an answer to their question in that book. And there are a couple of things about this book. One is it not only demonstrates that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, but it also teaches the art and science of biblical interpretation. Because a lot of people deny that the Bible is the Word of God because they misread the Word of God. For example, they might think that the world's only 5,000 years old as a function of a misreading of the book of Genesis, or they might think that God has big feet because The Bible says that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, or that God didn't know everything because he didn't know where Adam and Eve were. He asked the question, where are you? So if you don't understand the art and science of biblical interpretation, you end up with a lot of nonsense, and you think, wow, the Bible doesn't make any sense at all. But of course, that would apply to any kind of literature. If you're reading in a contemporary book that it was raining cats and dogs and you didn't realize that was a metaphor, you'd think that the book was nuts too. So it's a matter of not only being able to demonstrate that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, but also be able to teach someone how to read it rightly.
Okay. Well, thank you for your service, because you've given me true insight and knowledge and what kind of pastor that I want to become.
Well, this book will be wonderful for you. You know, I poured my life into it for many years before it was published. A lot of people say you don't have to strive for perfection, but I care about every single word I write, and so I labor over it so that the reader won't have to labor when they read it.
Well, awesome. Thank you very much, and bless your service, and I hope to continue listening to you for many, many years to come.
Bless you, Justin, as God leads you to become a pastor. If you've never subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, remember you can do that online at equip.org. And of course, you can support this ministry on the web in a safe, secure fashion as well. When you do, be pleased to send you our resource of the month. So long for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.